Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. I've got an amazing friend with me here today that I'm so excited to introduce you guys to. Can you please say a little bit about yourself?
Hi Rafi, I am Kathy. I currently live in the UK, but I've known Rafi when I was living in Vancouver, Canada, some time ago. And yeah, I'm a multidisciplinary artist.
A TikToker, famous TikToker.
No. Rafi's the TikToker.
Kind of. I'll say yes. Why not? I'm embracing it.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we met in Vancouver, but you're like from all over the world. You were originally born in Taiwan. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes. So I grew up in Taiwan. I was born there. And then shortly after, I moved to Singapore. And then from Singapore, I moved to Canada. And I've been in Canada the longest. And I was from Singapore. I went to the UK. I forgot about the UK. I was in the UK. And then I went to Canada. And I've been in Canada the longest. And now I'm a Canadian. And now I'm right back to the UK. I forgot.
Okay. Yeah. Like, it's been such a long time. Forgot about that detail.
Yeah. Now I'm visiting and I get to see Rafi. I haven't seen you in years.
So you have lived in how many countries?
So Taiwan.
Singapore.
UK, Canada. So 4 countries.
Okay. Yeah. So we kind of have that in common because I've also lived in 4 plus 1, 5 now with Spain. And we were actually just speaking about this when we were having lunch, how you're still trying to find your home. Because when you move around so much, you kind of lose that sense of home because you don't really feel like you belong anywhere.
Exactly, yes. I mean, living in the UK is amazing, but, you know, everything takes time, mm-hmm. I believe. And surely, you know, slowly and surely that one day it will happen. I mean, the UK has done a lot for me. I mean, it launched my new career, I guess. In the midst of COVID, I went a very different direction. Before I moved, I was like, yes, I'm going to have such an amazing photography career. But then it wasn't happening for me. And then I found that I love wedding stationery and I just dove into it.
Such a twist.
Very big twist. And I think because I am, you know, talented in so many different areas and I just put two and two together and it made me very happy and also generates quite a lot of money. So That's working out really well. That's the good part.
Which photography wasn't really doing that for you. So I think it's good that now you've been rewarded for the hard work that you've been doing.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I can apply photography into, you know, product styling shoots and stuff that I do myself. And that's just good to have all these kind of backgrounds. And it's not like I'm going to do this forever. It was just because this was convenient enough for me to do it at home.
Yeah.
And with all travel restrictions at the time, it was just easier, you know. Yeah.
So the reason why I wanted to have you on the podcast today is because, well, many reasons, but one of them certainly is how you totally hyped me up to get on TikTok 3 months ago or so. And you just told me you have to get on TikTok. It's amazing. You're going to do so good. And because at the time I was feeling a little bit discouraged with my Instagram and you're like, no, go on TikTok. It's going to be so good. And I took your advice. And it was the best decision I've ever made in my life. Well, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It was so amazing. And it's been so mind-blowing for my business, and you gave me so many tips and tricks. So okay, mm-hmm. Part one, I want to dive into TikTok a little bit, then I want us to maybe give the audience a little bit of like tips and advice that we have, you know, since you've both had like both of us have had success on the platform. And then also I want you to dive deeper in your entrepreneurial career, how you maybe started as a photographer and like how that went for you. And now the Etsy, you already spoke briefly, but yeah. So maybe let's begin with how you even ended up doing wedding stationery, which you've started, but I want to dive deep into the photography part of it because that was like so big for you. Mm-hmm. And then now things have changed, you know, so maybe mm-hmm. like when did you decide to be a photographer? Also, like, can you talk about Tumblr days?
Because 100%
let's just go way back.
We would take down memory lane. Yes, completely. Yes, I think I was about 14, 15 at the time, you know, years ago. A decade
10 years ago. Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. Oh, no, a decade. So that also just like the whole reposting, the reblogging, you know, you just get to see so many different photographs and so many like artistic things on there. There's art. There's a lot of stuff on Tumblr. And as a young girl and, you know, don't know what she's doing yet with her life, photos was pretty amazing. It's like, oh, I want to do that, or I want to be that person in that shot. And then it just got like, you know, your taste really just gets better and better, I think, for mm-hmm. most people, especially if you're a creative. And with me, Tumblr was like, if I like it, I will reblog it. And if I, you know, see somebody reblog somebody else's photo or whatever, or they reblogged it, I go into theirs and I follow them. And you know, you just like go through this whole, it's like Instagram pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was before Instagram and this was the OG Instagram. But a lot of people would say like MySpace and all that kind of stuff was the OG. But I think Tumblr was the pinnacle of photography. And a little bit of video, I think, just like not long videos, like more like GIFs. So like just like little moving pictures of whatever. And for me, I think it just sparked a huge aspiration towards like, I want to photograph like this.
Yeah.
I want to achieve photographs like this. Right. And then Instagram came out. Instagram came out. Everybody was on it. Everybody was excited. It was all about pictures showing like what I'm eating, what I'm doing. And this was before stories. This was like back when it was like just the grid system. It was like the best algorithm, the best everything. You know, you just started with your friends. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I can connect with so many people. Just like Tumblr. Like I have a lot of girlfriends that I like still speak to. I've never met them. And a lot of them are in Australia for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's hard to meet up, right? But mm-hmm. I still speak to them on Instagram or on iMessage or whatever. We still stay really connected. And like, this was like a decade ago, you know? And I still haven't seen them. I've never met them in person. And that's just the beauty about being connected with like-minded people. Because starting with Tumblr, it was like, oh my gosh, like you like the same stuff that I do. Let's be friends. And you don't know who the person it is behind that. It's like, it's the same. And then, bam, you've got Instagram. People are sharing their faces. They're doing selfies. They're like, they found out that it's not just family and friends. I can make some really cool friends mm-hmm. on Instagram. And then from there, it was like, oh, the aesthetic started kicking in, right? Mm-hmm. The grid has to look beautiful. It has to look like a certain lifestyle. And then I think it morphed into like, Instagram is all about lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Aesthetics. And I think that's what really like made it and broke it at the same time. Some people are just like, this is my beautiful life. But really, you don't know in the background. And then you had Snapchat come out and Snapchat was like, oh, check out my life in videos, right? Mm-hmm. And Instagram tried to buy Snapchat at the time. And I remember 2016 very, very clearly, they couldn't buy it. And then they launched stories and it just took off. I think it was the only successful thing Instagram ever did and I ever will probably. I don't want to sound cynical and or them coming after me, but I'm just saying like they did such a great thing with stories that it added to the platform, you know, and it put a lot more personable, you know, and also some people made it really artsy or some people made it all about their daily lives. Like it's literally 24-hour vlog of yourself. Yeah. Yeah. And now it's like, well, what do I do? What do I do that, you know, how can I move forward with my business, my career by using Instagram as a platform? Mm-hmm. It's still beautiful. It's still like a really good thing to have. But I think for me, at the time, it was like, intimate photography is censored, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like photographs being deleted one after the other, and it was very mentally draining. And mm-hmm. it's like, yes, I can create such beautiful photographs, I can do this and that, but this platform just went from letting me do all that to not letting me do it anymore. And mm-hmm. it's a huge community of artists on there that are just, they don't know what to do next. Like, what do you do? Where do mm-hmm. you go from there, right? It's still art. It's mm-hmm. it's not pornography. It's intimate. It's mm-hmm. very, like, sensual.
So was that the kind of photography that you were attracted to when you're on Tumblr?
Yes, I was very, like, you know, wow, this is beautiful. And some of them were like self-portrait artists that I've, mm. you know, I've never even come across, or photographers that have taken beautiful intimates of, you know, other people. And it's just like, you don't see this on Vogue. And it's like, in the internet is a sea of amazing things when you wherever you get yourself into, and you're just like, you know, in a rabbit hole. And you're just like, wow, there's so many archives of beautiful, amazing artistic things. And it's like, for me, I was like, I want to photograph myself like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then it started with, a friend at a very young age was like, take pictures of me, you know, not in a nude sense. It was mostly just all portraits at the time, because I was like playing around with a lot of still life. And then I got into shooting myself, and then a friend was like, take pictures of me, you know. And I did, and I was like, and she said to me, we were really young, I was like maybe 16, I had like a little digital camera, and we went out to the woods, and she was like, you're really good, you know, you're really, really good, like, at such a young age. And you think, wow, this is really encouraging that I could also photograph other people. Mm-hmm. And I had no photography background whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I never YouTubed on how to use a camera properly, and which is kind of funny, right? And and just before I left Vancouver, my goodness, I was working with a company, and they did everything from weddings to commercials to campaigns to, you know, portraits, just like headshots. So I did a lot of stuff, and the guy that owned it was like, hold on, do you know anything? Like, do you have any idea what you're doing? Like, what settings you're supposed to be using? I was like, yeah. So he gave me a 30-minute crash course on like aperture, lighting, everything, ISOs. And I was like, oh my God, I could do so much. Like, why haven't I been doing this? Like, I feel like because I was always doing an auto, everything was fine for me. But then, like, when I got more into professional photography, I was like, my whole knowledge and view kind of just blown up. I was like, oh my God, why did I ever educate myself on this? Like, I educate myself on a lot of things, but with photography, I kind of just went, yeah, I can do it, whatever, yeah. But with that, and that just added on to a lot of my professionalism, I think, and also my knowledge in photography. You know, moving forward, now I'm like more conscious about what, you know, what settings I'm using. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, I really just started from Tumblr, and then to Instagram, and then now, you know, TikTok is different. I'm slowly, right now I'm only using TikTok for the Etsy store side of it. But for me personally, I'm still trying to build that slowly. Mm. I do have a personal TikTok, but it's going to take a while for me to kind of morph into
transition.
There. Exactly. Because, like, you know, taking the time out and all that kind of stuff, like, sort of like rebranding myself in a lot of ways. Because, like, Instagram is just, I don't really use my personal Instagram anymore, but apart from travel, you know, for stories. But
how did you find shooting with women, especially with, like, you know, the pictures that you take, and I guess your kind of aesthetic and photography style? How did you find shooting with women, and like how did like, because I feel like women have to feel so safe to be able to, you know, maybe wear less clothes and, you know, be photographed. And I feel that you have to provide such a safe space and a really unique energy to make somebody feel comfortable in that position, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it all started out with myself. And I think, you know, I know that, you know, I can control the camera. I can then look at it after and all that kind of stuff, like finding my angles. And I think working with myself enough, then I was like, you know, you have friends, right? I mean, I was shooting portraits. I wasn't shooting other people nude until I started my project, Women Are Silk. And that was in 2017. And it was literally just a friend. And she was like, come, let's take some pictures. And I did. And it was a constant struggle for me because it was like, oh, I want to get published. I want to, you know, I want to be on the cover of Vogue. I want to do this. I want to do that. Like, I have so many things that I wanted to do, goals to reach, and, you know, a career that I have set out in my head, you know, that I want to be the best of the best, you know, in terms of intimate photography. But people don't want to pay for pictures, and publishing, they don't ever want to pay you because they want they just want to exploit artists, and then they want to sell their magazines and stuff. And it was like, every time I submitted to magazines, I never get a response, or I always get like, I'm so sorry, like, this is not what we're looking for. So then I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to start a project. And I did. And I did, and I started Women Are Silk, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened, because I was like, wow, you could really see the progression of my photography and like the direction it has gotten. And also, it's like, it's always on the spot. It's never premeditated. And that's the best part about shooting, is like, I always love to just sit down, have a conversation. And then I was like, well, if you're uncomfortable, you have to let me know, because we're in a safe environment. If you don't want to shoot anymore, let me know. Because some photographers, they never show people pictures, but I do. I have to make sure that you're happy with the content, especially when you're giving so much in this project. Right, you know, I'm photographing in exchange of your photographs, and then the whole idea for the project is that it's going to be a book, it's going to be exhibited, it's, you know, yeah. And there's a lot right now with, you know, copyright and all that, and how photographers, you know, in the industry have exploited models and celebrities, right, for their pictures, just because like you own the copyright. But for me, it's like, I have girls, like, you know, when I started Patreon and I thought I needed, you know, to fund for the book, I also stopped that because I was like, well, it wasn't really going anywhere. And also, I think there is a lot of issues when it comes to being comfortable with your images being shared as well.
For sure.
So I sent out emails, and I've contacted all of the girls, and some of them have come back to me and said, actually, we shot this a while ago, and I would just don't want it to be out there. Or some people are like, oh, yeah, could you crop my head off? Or, you know, some people have different jobs. Some people have changed their minds. Some people have, like, that was a different time in my life, you know? And I'm happy to not ever publish them, because I think it's a gift. It's such a gift to have beautiful, intimate photos of yourself at, you know, and certain age in your life as well. It's like, you're never going to be 20 years old anymore. You're never going to be 25 anymore. Like, it's nice to look at it when you're older. You're like, oh, that's so nice, you know? And I think, you know, it's bittersweet, because I'm like, hey, that's fine, you know? You get to control the fact that, yes, I want it to be published, or no, I don't want it to be published, or maybe I just need to be more selective. And I think that is a really good trade-off. And it's not even just a trade-off, it's a good relationship between the creator and the subject. And that's what I love about my project. I mean, the goal for me was to have 25 women in the, you know, a 5-year plan for the book, but it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't have 25 women, you know? I think I've shot maybe just over a dozen. And I'm so glad. I'm really grateful for the journey as well. Honestly, it's just such a beautiful energy when you're working with women, and then they're seeing the photograph. It's like, oh my God, I look like that? No way. And it's like, yeah, because I have a different eye. I have a female gaze, right? As opposed to, I'm not shading on any, you know, male photographers, but it's different when you're being photographed by a woman, I think. Especially, it's like, I know what I want myself to look like, you know, you know, and the, you know, the positioning, the angles, the mood, the atmosphere. And, you know, and I think it's lovely to have that as well. Just like a little cherry on top.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely agree. So obviously, mm-hmm. as you're speaking, I'm like, there's so much passion in you about photography that I know for a fact that this is not like, even though your career took a little bit of a turn, and I want us to kind of speak mm-hmm. about that now, yeah. I know for a fact that it's like you're going to continue doing photography yeah. in the style that you like, yeah. because it's like I can just see it in you mm-hmm. how passionate you are about mm-hmm. it. So now let's talk about the transition from wanting to pursue a photography career to now having an Etsy shop that you do wedding stationery.
Mm-hmm. So it all just like sparked when I was just sitting at home, and I was like, I always send like cards, and I always like draw little things or whatever for birthdays, for Christmas, you know, for loved ones and friends. Like, it just depends, if, you know. And I was like, do people sell wax seals? Like, because I like putting wax seals, you know. I'd never got in depth with wax seals. I just, like, bought this little, like, red candle thing and wax, and then a little stamp. And that was it. That's all I started with. And I was doing that this whole time, ever since I moved to Canada. I loved it. I was, like, every time I only had that one little wax stick, and it lasted me for years, because I wasn't sending out like every day. It was just like, it just made it special when you were sending something and then you seal it with a wax seal. So then I kind of sat there and I was thinking, okay, let me Google this, let me have a look. People sell wax seals, right? Like, is it a thing? So then I got into this deep rabbit hole, and I was on Etsy, I was on different platforms, I was looking at like people selling. I was like, wow, there is some really beautiful stuff out there. Like, there's a whole industry for this, literally. And I had no idea, you know? And when I don't know something, I want to know more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay, let's start. Like, I just bought a few things and I started it, and then it just spiraled and kicked off, and I got really interested into florals, so like dried flowers, and then, you know, the clear wax, which is called vellum wax, and mm-hmm. that was really popular. And I was like, so what are they using this for, right? I mean, letters and stuff, but a lot of my customers at the time, they're using for their wedding invitations or mm-hmm. place cards or whatever, like the day of stationery. And I was like, wow, so this is used on wedding stationery. I didn't know. I just thought, you know, people bought this for letters and stuff. And I was like, okay, let's have a look at wedding stationery. And then I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff. Like, people buy this stuff? Like, I had no idea. I mean, I did wedding photography when I was in Vancouver, when I worked for the company that did everything. But I just never thought that this could be a business. Like, this could really be a big business. So I started following a bunch of people on Instagram. I was like, wow, look at this. It's so immaculate, to the point it's, everything is handmade, everything is catered to you, your style. Like, there's so much art, there's just so much value in these invitations. Like, and I was like, how much are they charging this for? And I felt so shocked. Absolutely shocked. I was like, okay, well, I just thought people just sent out like paper invites. Yeah. But no, this could get like very intricate. I was like, wow. Some of the stationers were charging $10,000 like base price. I don't know, it's like, I mean, their work is amazing, right? You know, they have such just beautiful techniques and equipments, and letter pressing is huge, huge. Letter pressing is like the 1800s, the machines that they used to put little numbers in and then they would press. So that's like this machine that presses onto paper, so it makes a engrave. And, you know, you have like all this kind of like thick paper, and then you have the type of ink. It could be in gold, green, any color you choose from. And I just love watching these stationers make them, because every time it presses, it's just so impressive. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It could be printed and it would still be beautiful, but a letterpress, like, for like, you can't make these machines today. They are all like vintage, all of them, and they're big. They're very big. They're just, I was like, how am I going to get to that level, right? I know that I probably won't be doing it myself, because you can always outsource, But it's interesting because you can do possibilities are endless in wedding stationery, and some people are just will throw ridiculous money at you because weddings are a one-time deal. Mm-hmm. And I think some people wanted to make it as special as possible, and some people do have the money for it, and they will just put towards it. And some people will just be like, okay, yeah, we don't need that, but we want to have menus. Mm-hmm. For the day, I don't want invites, but I want menus, or I want, you know, table numbers and all that kind of stuff. I never thought I would be doing this. Yeah. I basically, like, the first wedding stationery was place cards, and it's literally just handmade paper with vellum paper. So I print on the vellum paper, like, the names, and then I just tie it with a silk ribbon, and that just kicked off. It's still popular today, and I started this in September. Of last year.
It's basically where the plate is, just the name of the person that's going to sit there.
Some people use it for gift tags. Some people use it for, like, you know, champagne bottle tags, like, because it has a silk ribbon so they can tie it around. Some customers will buy it and they'll put it on the bridesmaids' dresses with the names on it, or anything really. And, like, mostly it's just like for tables, like, with the name, yeah, place cards. And I didn't think that one. I honestly, until I was like, this is ridiculous. This is actually so ridiculous. There's a whole industry where people will buy this sort of stuff. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that they have bought all these things for me. But at the same time, it's like, it kind of makes you very addicted because you want to create more. Like, oh, what can I make next that no one else is making, right? How can I step up a bit more from what I'm comfortable with right now? You know, what sort of services should I, you know,
to provide?
Exactly, to provide. And it got really busy for me to the point that I was like, I want to do this for as long as it lasts, but I know for a fact that photography will always be there. And I'm still working on my project. And it's like, the beauty about photography is that I can start and stop anytime because I know that skill and talent doesn't go away.
For sure.
And that's the amazing part. You know, if I decided I don't want to do wedding stationery anymore tomorrow, I would jump right back into shooting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
The power is in you, baby.
Yeah.
So can we now talk about the first time that you had like an explosion in your business in the wedding stationery? And I guess the wax seals as well, it all goes together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that experience? Mm-hmm. Did it come through one of your viral TikToks or Instagram? Because your Instagram also blew up quite fast.
Mm-hmm. So over Christmas, well, just after Christmas, actually, I just like posted. So my store's TikTok is just all wax seals, like me making wax seals or me making a wedding stationery or whatever. And one video just went viral. Literally just was like, oh my God, it hit 800,000 views. And then it hit 900,000 views. And I was like, is it going to go to a million? Because I've never had a million views. I mean, I've come really close to 800,000. It was like 779. But I was like, and it wasn't so, like, so busy. It was just, like, there was a lot of views, but it wasn't, like, lots of comments. But with this video, it just kept going. And I think because people are probably on a break because it was after Christmas and it was, like, that sort of, like, awkward time before people went back to work. It was the 29th of December when I posted it. And it didn't blow up till, you know, 2-3 days later. And it just didn't stop. It didn't stop until it hit 14.2 million views.
14.2 million views.
Yeah, 14.2 million views.
What?
And like, you have to understand, sometimes views do not actually relay to sales. For me, there was a lot of activity on my Etsy, but it wasn't like there was a lot of orders. It was just a lot of people favoriting, spamming the crap out of my Etsy store. And that was cool because I was like, oh, okay, there's some traffic. At least there's traffic, right? And then January hit, mid-January, and I was bombarded with orders. Just like one after the other. And I was like, And I remember being on the phone with you, and I was like, what do I do? Like, how many, like, orders should I be doing? Like, you know, setting a goal. And then you gave me the idea, like, you need to, I told you about my goal, and you said, no, you need to make it more than what you're comfortable with. And you said to, wait till the end of the month and see how much you've made and how many orders, and then you want to
double it.
You want to double it. And she was right. At the end of the month, I was like, oh, I hit my actual, like, I remember in New Year's resolution, I wrote down, like, these are my goals, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was very realistic to me at the time. And at the end of January, I was like, okay, yeah. Yeah, let's double it. Like, yeah. We need to double it. Yeah.
For sure.
Because it was just so busy. Because then another video then went viral. And then another one went viral as well. And I had three. By the time it hit February, I had three videos that was over 1 million views. And I think those ones then, they did generate some sales, I believe. Because for Christmas, it didn't really hit till mid-January. Mm. And I was like, oh, God, all of a sudden I'm so busy. Mm. And it wasn't like people were placing large orders. It was just the number of orders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then February was just like the same. It was just so many orders. Mm. And then March kind of like chilled out a little bit more, but I was still really busy. And then April and May is when it really died down a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think because my Instagram also blew up with me. So I post on TikTok and then I save it and then I'll post it on Instagram.
Do you edit your videos on TikTok itself?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I do it there and then I'm quite lazy. So I do it then and there. I save it. Download it, and then I'll pop it onto Instagram. And I did that. And I think I posted every day, my reels, every day. I went from 2,000 followers to now 17.7K, and it hasn't moved.
But it was in, like, a day.
No. It was, like, 30 days of just nonstop.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah. But that's the funny part. It's, like, I went from 2,000 followers to 17.7K, and, like, I think in end of May or end of April time. And I was like, well, it didn't really help with sales. Like, it's just Instagram is more like people just likes your videos. Like, had a lot of people commenting like, oh, I really like this page. This is really satisfying. And it's like, this isn't a page. This is
my business. This is my livelihood.
And they're like, people commenting saying like, it's kind of like Facebook. I like, because Facebook started introducing reels onto Facebook. And so you get a lot of people commenting, and it's very like Facebook comments. It's like, how did she do this? How did that happen? I wish I could see the entire process. And it's like, it is the entire process. The video's right there for you. And it's like, they're like, I wish you made this video longer. Like, there's more. And it's like, you have to understand that these people don't know what they're talking about, but at the same time, don't ever take it personally. Because there are a lot of comments on there, especially on TikTok. They're like, do it in this color, do it in that color, or do it a rose, like a rosebud, like a
rose petal.
Yeah, rose petal, like the flower. I was like, it's too big to make a wax seal out of that. You gotta have the wax seals are like the size I usually make is 25 millimeters, it's very small.
2.5 centimeters, like,
yeah, very small, yeah. And like the largest I've ever made was 4 centimeters, but you're asking me to make something like 10.
Which is like five times. It's so funny you say that with TikTok, because it's like I've been growing my Instagram for years, my whole entire life.
Yeah. We all have
what it feels like, and I've never received like the amount of support that I've received from one viral video on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And it's like these people on TikTok, they don't even know me. Mm-hmm. And they see one of my videos and they come and buy from my store. Mm-hmm. And it's like I'm on Instagram for years showing the process, showing the behind the scenes. And yes, like people have supported, but not to the extent that I've received through TikTok, which is like so fascinating to me, because it's it's so interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. These people have been watching me do my thing. They mm-hmm. see the behind the scenes and whatever, but I guess they just see it as a project or as a page. Mm-hmm. But like TikTok is like, oh my god, I love this product, I want to buy it.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because I think it also has to do with the fact that TikTok is from China, and it's in Asia. It's been like this for a long time, where you just buy anything. Like literally, like when Facebook Live, like when Instagram Live came out, this was years ago. The last time I was in Taiwan was like 5 years ago. Mm. And I was just there hanging out with my cousins, and I'm trying to have dinner with her. Like, I'm trying to socialize. I haven't seen her in years. So I'm like, this is like my uncle's kid, and she's like a couple years younger than me. Yeah, and you know, this was years ago, so she was quite young. Like, she like was going to university, and it was like, I'm trying to hang out with you, but you're just on your phone buying clothes. Mm. And the way that she was buying clothes was watching a Facebook Live of a girl selling products.
Wow.
And people commenting, and she's like, they have this sort of system. And I'm asking her, I was like, what are you doing right now? And she goes, oh, I'm just shopping. And I was like, but can we have, she's like, yeah, you can talk, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're still chatting, but I'm just like really surprised at the dynamic. I'm sitting right next to her. We're trying to have dinner, and she's got her phone out, and there's just all these likes and people commenting, and like, you know, clothes being reserved left and right. Like, they're selling some fake stuff, and it's very fast.
Mm.
And, you know, lives only like last for an hour, I think, at the time. And then they're like, okay, we'll be right back. And then she just open it back up, like, oh, back God. Up again. And there is certain hours where she will be doing this. And this was 5 years ago.
Mm.
And they've already started doing that. And it's like, and TikTok obviously started from China. And it's the founder or creator, he's also from China. And it's like, this is like the new way of e-commerce. And I think a lot of the times the West, it takes a while for us to, you know, to have that come in. And TikTok's doing really well. It's starting very slowly with, like, they didn't just like bombard with, like, you know, TikTok e-commerce or TikTok shop. It's like slowly sort of integrated.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, like, during COVID, it was all about dancing videos and stuff. And I was like, if you had told me literally last year to go on TikTok, I would have laughed at you. I'm like, I'm not going on TikTok. It's for babies. Like, I was not convinced. And then I started seeing a lot of people make money just by going on TikTok. And it's apparently really good for brands, really good for small businesses. And I got talked into it. And I was like, okay, let's try this. Let's try this TikTok thing. And I'm on it for less than 6 months. And my video went viral. Insane. Crazy. It was nothing I did or added. I just thought, oh, okay, before bed, I'll just put this video up.
Just like me.
That's it.
I'm just gonna put this video up before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Promise myself I would post a video. So here I am.
Exactly. And I think that's like the interesting part of TikTok is that they know that Instagram is not their competitor whatsoever. Their competitor is YouTube, because YouTube's all about longer videos, you know, longer content. And TikTok's all about video content. And the beauty about video content is that you either, people are speaking in front or speaking through the mic, or there's like words. There's interaction on TikTok, I believe, and people always find it more, it's more personable, especially if you're an influencer or a model or just a personality on there. And I think when you're a personality, people love that, you know, because you're talking to them. You're doing the exact same thing that, like I said, the Kardashians do. Right? Mm. They're talking to you like you're friends. Mm. And it works. It works really well.
For sure. And I feel that for me, it was the thing that I got on TikTok that I was missing on Instagram, is that I couldn't fully show my personality, because I'm so much a brand on Instagram, and on TikTok, it's me. Like, it's me. It's Rafaela. Well, Rafi baby. But it's me. So then I'm not only posting stuff about my clothing, I'm posting a bunch of different stuff, you know what I mean? And then I just randomly, obviously I still promote my stuff, but I'm very passionate about wearing your clothes in a different way. And I make clothes that you can wear in different ways. And it just happens to be integrated into my videos and my lifestyle. So yeah, I think it's just been so interesting to be a part of it and honestly take your advice and benefit from it so much, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe let's give a little bit of like...
tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks segment.
This is the best part. We leave the best to the last.
Yes. Okay, so tips and tricks. You go first. You're the expert.
Well, not really. I just, in the beginning, I was like, how do you grow? How do you grow your TikTok? Because I was very new to it. I was like, oh, okay, how do I do well on this platform? Like, how does someone do well on this platform? So I started following a lot of people who talk about grow your TikTok, you know, from 10 followers to 100K, whatever. And, you know, and you get sucked into it, right? People give you some really good tips. Some people want you to pay for it. Some people don't. But you always find the ones that are just like the really good ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will tell you what's happening, what's trending, blah, blah, blah. And the best take I ever took was this girl was she also like helps brands. Mm-hmm. And she was just talking like about if you post twice a day and you keep doing that for a whole month, she's like, you're going to have good views. You're going to constantly use the same hash. Yeah, the hashtags are really important. She's like, don't use the hashtag to have over 1 million.
Or 1 billion.
There's like
1 trillion.
There's actually a lot. Some crazy ones. And then someone says, don't use FYP or is that... Was that
Para ti.
Yeah.
Which is also for
exactly.
You.
Or like ABC, XYZ. So yeah, so she said, you know, try and avoid all these hashtags, but then find the hashtag for your niche. And she said it's very hard at first, but you'll get used to it. And just put in the hashtag that you think will be part of your niche and then look at those videos. And then look at the videos that have gone viral and look at their hashtags or big views or people with large following and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And there wasn't a lot of, you know, wax seals and at the time. It was just like sort of like very generic videos. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll just use whatever this girl's using. And I just kept going. For a long time, and then change it up a bit. She says, don't ever use the same, always change it up a bit, you know, because you don't want the algorithm to think that you're a bot.
Oh, I see.
So there's that. Yeah, she says, oh, and it's good to like outreach other sort of hashtags that are not related to your niche but somewhat related. So you would like think, oh, you know, if I was looking for, you know, reversible clothing, you know, then like I probably would want a bag maybe to go accessorize with my clothing. So like maybe do that, like, you know, she had these like really amazing tips and stuff, and I thought, okay, cool. But the whole like posting twice a day, I was like, I really did not. I was like, are you sure? Like twice a day. So I was like, I didn't do twice a day, but I did like 4 days for two videos.
Okay.
And it was very mentally like it was very like overwhelming. Yes, it was. And then you kind of have to get used to the fact that you have to have a specific way of editing. So then I had to think about that too. And everyone's different, right? Everyone's sort of their niche, their sort of their personality or their brand is very different. And then once you have the consistency, you just keep going until you hit one viral video. And then that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. That's exactly what I did too. I was like posting twice a day. I found the hashtags that didn't have a lot of views but had like enough. They weren't huge hashtags, but you know, they were still related to my niche. And I kind of used the same hashtags for all the... I mean, I would change up because some of the videos weren't about fashion. I was doing other stuff. And then I just used these hashtags over and over and over again. And now when I look at those hashtags, my videos are on top trending. They're like the top videos of those hashtags.
Yes, exactly. You have to go and creep yourself and see if you're anywhere up the top. And for me, it's the same. Like, some hashtags you do have to check and see if you're even at the top. If you're not, then maybe stop using it or use another one. And that's a really good tip too. It's like, if that's not working for you, it's not going to work in the long run. If it's working for you now and you have a viral video, then keep using it. Yeah. Because the more of you in that, then the more someone's going to keep watching your videos.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And what I find so fascinating about just how TikTok works is that you can post a video, maybe it doesn't do well, but then later it does well, like 3 days later, like you're saying, or like a week later post a video
sometimes,
and then I'm just like, how does this happen? It's so crazy.
Some people's old videos will just suddenly, like, whoa, it's going up again, and it happened to me a couple times. I'm like, I posted this like months ago, but it just got picked up. Sometimes it just landed on someone's For You page. And then, you know, they shared it, they commented, you know, it's the sharing and the commenting and all that, and the liking. Like, if you ever, that's another tip. If you ever want to help your friends, just hit the share button. You don't have to actually share the actual video, just hit the share button. And it really helps. It helps with views. It helps with the algorithm, because TikTok is very organic that way. If your video just does not work, it will not show up on anyone's FYP. But if someone really does, then it will. It will reward you in that way.
And also, like, my tip was that I love the dance videos, but I can't dance on tune. Like, these dances are so specific and particular. Of course, if I'm at a club, I can dance, you know. But, like, I cannot dance if there's, like, these strict moves that you have to do. And then there was this dance going viral, and I really wanted to do the dance because I thought it was so fun. And I'm like, I just want to do this dance. But then I couldn't do the dance. So then I literally made the video, and I was like, since I can't do the Lizzo dance, but I can make clothes, I made this top a while ago, and you can wear it because it's reversible. So I just took the trend, put it into my niche, made a video, and it was like, boom. And you had told me that as well, like, use trending audios. I mean, everybody knows this, to use trend audios, but how can you use the trend audios related to your niche?
Exactly. For me, it's very difficult to sort of, like, put that in my videos, because it's like such a particular sort of video editing that I do. It's just making a wax seal. Like, what am I going to put Harry Styles over it? Like, I can't put, like,
as it was.
Exactly. And, like, Kate Bush. And it's like, well, the and then I have to, like, speed up the video because some of the music is, like, very, very, like, fast, and, you know, the rhythm is, like, go, go, go. And, like, Kate Bush is, you know, she's like, because of Stranger Things, now she's, like, number one chart in the UK, and she hasn't been number one in a very long time. I mean, this lady who sang back in the 80s, you know, which is amazing, right? So it's like, wow, this whole TikTok generation is, like, you have to understand, there's a lot of young people. We're talking Gen Z. They are the next thing, and they are what you need to catch, right? They're the ones that are not on Instagram. They're using TikTok more than they're on Instagram. They will check your Instagram. Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't check Instagram? I do. I love checking Instagram. I'm like, oh, it's nice feed, nice pictures, you know. But I want to see the videos, so I would go to TikTok. I want to see what content this brand is, this person is putting out there, right? It's personable.
It's more personal. And I think that's also another tip, is, like, be your own person. Just share yourself and share
knowledge.
Share knowledge, share what, you know, things that you have learned. Like, just, like, try to add as much value as you can to the platform. Because I think also on TikTok, the difference of the content is that people are just posting relatable stuff. It's always something that is gonna come through your page that you can relate as fuck. You're like, yes, I've experienced this before, I know what this is like, and you just feel so seen.
You do, you absolutely do. And it's like the trends as well. It's like the POVs right now, everyone's doing that, and it's making everyone's videos go viral.
Yeah,
right. And it's like, and then you said about, you know, putting it in your niche and, like, you know, adding the song. And that's the beauty about TikTok, is, like, it actually allows creators to be creative. Because it's like, how can I put two and two into one? and actually make it still mine and also relatable and also trendy at the same time, yeah. right? And when someone sees you're doing it in a different way, they want to do the same thing.
For sure.
So, you know, and the cycle just never ends. And I think that's the wonderful thing about TikTok is that it's not about dancing videos. It's about just being yourself on yeah. there. Yeah. I love the travel stuff on TikTok. You can't find the same things on Instagram. Like booking a trip, going, you know, trying to go somewhere, you just pop it into TikTok on search, you can see tons of stuff. You can see hotels, people who have been staying in a specific hotel. Hotels, websites, they don't have like a lot of pictures or they don't have a lot of videos. But when you're on TikTok, people are showing you their rooms, what's the good thing about, you know, staying in this place, like, and things that you can just like add to your travel list. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, if I'm going to this part, you know, of Europe, like I want to do this and this mm-hmm. because they did it and it looks awesome. And I think that's the best part. It's mm-hmm. like TikTok gives you a different perspective mm-hmm. in a lot of things, you know.
For sure.
Exactly.
And so many things. It's like everything you can search and find, like a whole new world on TikTok of anything that you're interested in, mm-hmm. you know.
Like sometimes
interior
home hacks.
Ugh.
A lot of hacks. I love it. We're sold.
All of the hacks.
We're sold. Yeah. Either you're on TikTok as a brand or you're just on there because you like TikTok, you like to watch TikTok videos. It's literally the best thing.
Yeah. I remember my friend telling me, oh, I love TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I was so... I literally couldn't understand. My mind was like, what? Like, I was so confused. And now that I'm on TikTok, I'm that person. I'm like, I love TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's so much better than Instagram.
Yeah. It blew up my store.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, biasly I'm speaking because obviously it gave me so much success.
Yeah.
But, like, I just love the content there. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a way that I also express mm-hmm. a creative part of myself that mm-hmm. I feel like I don't do it through clothing, you know, that I guess I can also express like funny parts of myself and other things that I felt just so limited on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I love how before your video went viral, you had sent me a video of a girl's video. Her video went viral and she was just saying like, oh my gosh, like she was just not ready for it. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like you foreshadowed what would happen to you. Literally a week or two later, I was like, this is happening to you. You sent me this video.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
It's amazing. But she's right though. Like now you know how busy you can get and how you can like scale moving forward or like, you know, the different avenues you could probably take, you know, to combat that sort of busy rush, right? And for me, it was like, oh my God, I was so busy, you know, January, February, like, March.
You have to get an assistant. You have to get somebody to help you.
And no, like, the thing is, it didn't last forever, right? It was like, I think, for myself, I was like, I need a break. Yeah, I need a break.
Yeah. I feel you.
Exactly. And I think TikTok listened to me and was like, yeah, well, let's give you a break.
Well, I just made another viral dress, as we have already claimed it.
Very, very viral.
Well, you've been here at the studio today.
Pre-order now. Pre-order before you even see it. Just
do it.
Just pre-order.
It's going to be the dress of the summer.
Literally. Rafi's just going to set up a pre-order, and that's it. You're not going to see this dress for like a whole year, because they're going to be like 50,000 of them being pre-ordered.
Oh my God. But yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited
I'm always excited creating. To see your next drops. Yeah, but this one, I got a sneak peek of it and I really, really like it. I don't like it. I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm like, I want it now.
Okay. Well, what an amazing conversation.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the pod. That was like so easygoing. It was like no stress at all. Thank you for everyone listening. You guys, we can't see you, but I'm like, you know, speaking to the mic and I'm just like, you you if you're listening, and if you have listening until, if you've listened until now, we love you. Thank you for being here, and we hope you have a beautiful day. Bye.